Heaven Blessed, written by Rhys Bowen and read by Roger Clark.
Chapter 1. He knew he shouldn't play the piano, but he couldn't help himself. That last doctor at the hospital had suggested that it probably wasn't wise when he was in this frame of mind, and the old cow next door had made it clear that she didn't appreciate noise after 9 o'clock. But it was calling to him, drawing him as certainly as if he was a hooked fish. He had to feel the cool ivory under his fingers and fill the room with enough music to drown out the blackness. He pushed open the door and fumbled for a light switch. The grand piano took up almost the whole front parlor. It was a magnificent instrument and deserved a room to itself. Giving it up would have been unthinkable. So what if the other downstairs room was uncomfortably cramped? It wasn't as if he entertained. He rummaged in the piano bench and extracted the first music book his fingers closed around. Chopin, Selected Pianoforte Works. He couldn't have chosen anything more technically challenging. He opened the book at a random page and began to play. It had fallen open at a piece he knew well, and he breezed through it, lingering notes of longing and passion that hung in the air after the etude was finished. Then he turned the page and winced as he saw what lay before him. The Nocturne, in F sharp, written by a virtuoso to show off his own talent. He attacked it anyway. He had been able to cheat on the slow piece by playing with incorrect fingering. Now he ordered his fingers to obey him, and they flew up the keyboard in an effortless run until they came to the gap where his fourth finger should have been. A wrong note sounded. He slammed shut the keyboard and burst into tears.
"Is this the last of it, Evenbach?"
Charlie Hopkins lowered the box to the flagstone path outside the cottage door and stood with his hand on his chest, breathing heavily. It took a lot to make Charlie Hopkins pant, even at the age of 72, but the 10th trip up the mountainside had been too much on a hot afternoon. "I think it is, Charlie," Evan Evans said, also breathing heavily, even though he was half Charlie's age and in good shape. "I can't thank you enough for helping me out like this. I hadn't quite realized what a trek this would be." "What else can you expect when you choose to go and live halfway up a bloody mountain?" Charlie demanded. He took out a large handkerchief and mopped his brow with it. Evan smiled. "Bronwyn wanted to call in a moving company." Charlie snorted. "You'd never have got a moving van up here. I'd like to have seen her find movers willing to carry furniture like we did. You'd have had a strike on your hands." "That's what I told her," Evan said. He hoisted a box with a grunt and kicked open the cottage door. Charlie followed with a second box. "Where do you want me to put this, then?" he asked. His gaze went around the small living room that was already piled with furniture and boxes. "Anywhere on the floor will do, thanks," Evan said, dropping his own box beside several others. "How can one woman have so many things?"
"This all belongs to her, does it?"
"It does. She has to be out of the schoolhouse this week." Charlie Hopkins sucked through his teeth. "Ah, so it's true, then. They're definitely closing the school." "They are. They've offered Bron a job at the new primary on the Carnarvon Road. 500 children there will be at that school, all glass and modern-looking. Quite a shock for our kids, I expect."
"I don't see why they had to change things," Charlie said.
"The school was good enough for me and my boys." "I'm sure it worked just fine with a teacher like Bronwyn," Evan said. "But I can understand that she can't give a bright 10-year-old and a slow 6-year-old all the individual attention they deserve." Charlie nodded.
"Maybe you're right. Education is different these days. When I was in school, we got a cane across the knuckles for each word we got wrong on our spelling tests."